What if Hitler had died in 1938? Would the Holocaust have happened? Would 50 million people have perished in World War II? These aren't idle historical fantasies. They're haunting questions raised by a staggering fact. Adolf Hitler survived at least 42 assassination attempts during his reign of terror. While Lee Harvey Oswald and John Wilkes Booth remain household names, the men and women who risked everything to kill Hitler have largely vanished from memory. Their stories reveal not just the difficulty of eliminating a well-protected dictator, but the extraordinary moral courage required to act when millions stood silent. In November 1938, Maurice Bouveau, a 22-year-old Swiss seminary student, stood in a Munich crowd with a concealed pistol during the Beer Hall Putsch commemoration. He believed Hitler was the incarnation of Satan and intended to kill him, but raised arms in the crowd blocked his shot. Born to a devoutly Catholic family, Bouveau had formed an intense friendship at seminary with a charismatic student claiming Romanov ancestry. By summer 1938, their discussions about Hitler's persecution of the Catholic Church had become genuine conspiracy. After Munich, Bouveau forged letters from a former French prime minister to secure meetings with Hitler. All attempts failed. Caught stealing onto a train home, his baggage revealed maps of Hitler's residences and ammunition. At his December 1939 trial, he confessed to acting alone for the benefit of humanity and all Christendom. For 18 months at Plötzensee prison, Bouveau endured daily preparation for death, shackled, isolated, fed through a metal hatch. On May 14, 1941, he was guillotined. What Hitler's security didn't know, as Bouveau watched the Führer march away that day, another assassin was also observing, plotting his own attack. George Elser, a simple carpenter from Württemberg, came closer to killing Hitler than any other assassin. Unlike ideologically driven plotters, Elser was apolitical, a craftsman who enjoyed playing zither and tinkering with clocks. What drove him to action was witnessing how Nazism degraded ordinary life, declining wages, deteriorating conditions, curtailed freedoms, and the march toward war. Elser planned meticulously around Hitler's annual speech at Munich's Bürgerbrau Keller. Beginning in August 1939, he obtained quarry work to access explosives and visited the beer hall nightly. Over 30 nights, he hid after closing, hollowing out a pillar behind the podium. His bomb was a masterpiece. Two timing mechanisms, steel plates directing the blast, enough explosives to collapse the ceiling. He set detonation for 9:20 p.m. on November 8, 1939. What Elser couldn't anticipate was Hitler's schedule change. With war underway, Hitler concluded his speech at 9:07 p.m., just 13 minutes before the explosion. The bomb killed 8 and injured 63. Hitler had already departed. Had he spoken his usual duration, 20th century history might have been radically different. While lone wolves like Bouveau and Elser acted from personal conviction, another resistance center emerged from an unlikely source, Germany's Military Intelligence Service, the Abwehr. Under Admiral Wilhelm Canaris, the very agency charged with protecting Germany became a hotbed of resistance. Canaris, a decorated naval officer, initially supported Hitler but grew disillusioned as Nazi brutality escalated. By 1938, he had assembled conspirators, including his deputy, Hans Oster, lawyer Hans von Dohnányi, and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. These conservative patriots turned against Hitler after witnessing the regime's lawlessness, particularly during the 1938 Kristallnacht pogrom. Their boldest attempt came in March 1943, when Colonel Rudolf Christoph von Gerstorff volunteered as a suicide bomber during Hitler's visit to an exhibition of captured Soviet weapons. Carrying explosives with 10-minute detonators, Gerstorff activated his bombs, only to watch Hitler rush through in just 2 minutes. He barely reached a bathroom to disarm them. The conspiracy ultimately failed from structural challenges. As intelligence professionals, they excelled at gathering information but struggled with direct action. Their conservative values made them hesitant revolutionaries, and they faced a fundamental contradiction. The oath of loyalty that motivated their resistance also inhibited decisive action. By 1943, the SS grew suspicious. Hitler disbanded the Abwehr in February 1944. On April 9, 1945, Canaris was hanged at Flossenbürg concentration camp. His final message? Was not a traitor. Did my duty as a German. While foreign intelligence debated assassinating Hitler, German military officers saw his elimination as patriotic duty. Their conspiracy culminated in the July 20, 1944 bomb plot, the closest anyone came to killing Hitler during the war. Colonel Henning von Treskow, decorated with three Iron Crosses, drove this resistance cell. Initially a Nazi supporter, he turned against Hitler after witnessing atrocities during the Soviet invasion. Reading SS directives authorizing mass civilian killings, he warned colleagues, "This will still have an effect in hundreds of years. It will not only be Hitler who is blamed, but rather you and me, your wife and my wife, your children and my children." By 1944, Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg joined the conspiracy. Despite losing an eye, his right hand, and two fingers in Tunisia, his energy and conviction revitalized the plot. He would both assassinate Hitler and coordinate the Berlin coup. On July 20, Stauffenberg attended Hitler's military conference at the Wolfschanze with a briefcase containing British plastic explosive. He placed it under the conference table before excusing himself. The bomb detonated at 12:42 p.m., demolishing the room. Hitler survived. A heavy oak table leg shielded him, and the summer heat meant the conference was held in wooden barracks rather than the concrete bunker that would have contained the blast. Nearly 5,000 Germans were executed in Hitler's vengeance, many by slow strangulation using piano wire. Stauffenberg was shot hours later. His final words, "Long live our sacred Germany," revealing his patriotic motivation. Treskow walked into no man's land with a grenade, telling a colleague, "Hitler is not only the archenemy of Germany, but the archenemy of the world." By April 30, 1945, Hitler's Reich had collapsed to a narrow Berlin corridor. In the Führer bunker, 8 meters beneath the Reich Chancery Garden, the Goebbels children played while staff drank champagne and discipline evaporated. Years of methamphetamines, cocaine, strychnine, and belladonna had left Hitler trembling and aged far beyond his 56 years. Though he had survived 42 assassination attempts through sheer luck, his end had arrived. After a final lunch on April 30, Hitler emerged from his apartment drawn and trembling, Eva Braun behind him in his favorite dress. She died first from cyanide. Once she was still, Hitler sat beside her, raised his Walther pistol to his temple, and fired. The man who had escaped countless assassination attempts finally succeeded where 42 others had failed. History will forever wonder, what if just one of those brave men and women had succeeded? How many millions might have been saved? Their courage deserves remembrance, not because they succeeded, but because they tried when doing nothing would have been easier. In a world where evil often triumphs through the silence of good people, these forgotten heroes remind us that resistance, even failed resistance, matters.